So we thank you, Lord, for your word, and may your word be alive and active in our midst tonight. May your word cut through and open our hearts more to you. We praise you and bless your name. Amen. There was a song some years ago. I very rarely sing in the congregation, mind you, but this song went something like this. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. That was about it, but it's a noisy rendition of the gospel. Well, not exactly. But today, it is a time to think about how it may be hard to be humble. Not because we're perfect, that's for sure. The readings today suggest this to us, that the way of light is the way of humility, the way of Jesus. The way of darkness is the way of pride, the way of the evil one. And we make a choice in that as to what stance we take in life. Do I walk in humility, or do I walk with consummate pride? What is humility? Well, of course, humility is truth. It's standing before God in the truth and standing for others in the truth, with no pretenses, no way of trying to show off or make myself better than I am, but just simply in the truth. Now, sometimes people think that being humble is that I have to have a bad opinion of myself. I have to think of myself poorly and reckon that I'm a bit of a dill and I'm an idiot, and it's good that I don't have any gifts because then I can be humble. Well, that's, of course, the false humility. That's not the truth. Humility is when we stand in the truth that God reveals to us of who we are in Him. And the first thing that He reveals to us is that you are unique and irreplaceable human being, with great dignity given to you by God. He created you in His own image and likeness, and His whole purpose is to have union with you, that you are a son or a daughter of God Himself, that you have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, that you are created, recreated by the Holy Spirit given to you in baptism. And so you are wonderful. And you have many gifts to bring. And it's the Lord's purpose that you would use those gifts and not hide them. That's the first truth that we need to know. Huh? The second one, though, as we stand before God, is that you, like me, are a flawed human being. You carry the effects of original sin within you, and so there's an inclination within you towards sin. And you have a way, like me, of falling into sin. And you have a way, like me, of being lesser than the human that you are called to be. And so I need to stand in truth before God, acknowledging that aspect of myself, that I'm a weak, broken, fallen human being, and I'm totally in need of the Lord for His mercy and His kindness towards me. Without that, I'm finished. But God is good, and He is full of love for each one of us, and He seeks to remake us into His own image. Remember John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, people thought he was such a good preacher that maybe it was the Messiah. And they began to suggest that to him. He just simply said, a man can lay claim only to what's given him from God. And no more, no less. Now, so much has been given to you by God. Lay claim to that. But don't look at other people and say, I want what they've got. but rather I am grateful for what the Lord has given to me. And I live in that gratitude. And that's the way to a deep place of humility. And we think also of Francis of Assisi. He said, a person can only be who they are before God, no more, no less. No point in trying to build yourself up in a way that sort of is false. On the other hand, there's no point in tearing yourself down in a way that's false. Stand in the truth, and it's the truth that sets us free. Be who you are in God, and who you are in God is magnificent. And the more you enter into, surrender to the Lord, the more you become who you really are in Him. And that's something to celebrate. Now, it's interesting, isn't it, that human beings have produced a lot of gods in their minds, haven't they? The ancient religions, look at the Greeks, they had their gods, and the Romans had their gods, and the Babylonians had their gods, and all those gods of the Mesopotamia. And the gods down through the history of all the ancient tribes and all that sort of thing, everyone's sort of been constructing gods. And they have all sorts of qualities. Some of them are sort of powerful and full of battle and all of that. But you'll never find in those gods constructed by human beings, you'll never find humility. It's only in the one true God that we find humility. Jesus did not cling to his equality with the Father, but he emptied himself, taking on the condition of a slave, becoming like us in all things but sin. He became one of us, entered into our human condition. And he emptied himself even further by hanging on the cross for our sake. So much as he loved us. But this is a lesson in humility. You see, God is really big, if you didn't realize that. He created the whole universe, huh? So God's not sitting up there thinking, oh, I'm a little person, you know. He's not saying that. He's not saying, I'm little. He's not feeling I'm little. But he just made himself little by becoming one of us. And so he showed us the way to humility. You don't have to feel that you're little, but you make yourself little in imitation of Jesus before others. The way Jesus did, he entered into a life of utter service, giving himself completely for the sake of others. This is what it is to be humble. Francis of Assisi, when he was singing about all the creatures in the world and how great they were and everything, he said, and I extol water. Water, because it's so clear, so precious, so pure, so chaste, and so humble. Huh? Well, we know what clear, pure, and chaste might mean water, as long as you don't come from Adelaide. But what's this humble? Well, you see, water always seeks the lowest place. Huh? And that's what Jesus is saying in the gospel. He sees the Pharisees coming, they're sort of sitting up in the places of position and honour and status and big dignitaries and preening their feathers, etc. And Jesus says, you know, don't be like that. Rather seek the lower place. Go to the lowest position and then you'll be raised up. Teresa of Lisieux said, the lower I went, the higher I was raised up. That's how we're meant to be. That's the whole flow of things, of our lives. Our lives should naturally, or supernaturally if you like, move to the lower place. And what's the lower place in human affairs? It's the place of the servant. That's why Paul says in Philippians, he says, always think of the other person as you're better. Well, what's he mean by that? Doesn't mean that you think of yourself as lousy. No, you're better. What he's talking about is in those days, the servants were the ones who washed the feet of those who were their betters. And we're meant to do the same thing. act like the servant, ready to wash the feet. Just as Jesus took up towel and water and washed the feet of his apostles. And they were astounded. He says, "You're the master. What are you doing this for?" That's how the master must act. If he's to be the one who is great, he must be the least of all and the servant of all. That's exactly what Jesus said, didn't he, when the apostles were arguing about who's the greatest and all that sort of thing. Some of them were sort of trying to sit right on his right-hand side and on his left-hand side. And Jesus just simply says, if you want to be great, and he wants us to be great, if you really want to be great, you must choose to be the least of all and the servant of all. And take up towel and water as he did and wash the feet of one another. Because the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for the many. So humility is truth, and humility will find us in the position of the servant. Really not considering myself, but considering the other and looking to serve the other. That's how we'll take our stance of genuine humility before God and before one another. And the third point is that humility will bring us into solidarity with the poor, because we'll know our own poverty. And when we know our own poverty, we know we are one with the poorest of the poor. And so we're not standing above people, looking down in a superior position, saying, "Oh, that scumbag over there, what an unfortunate fellow, he's sitting in the gutter." But rather, I'll be there sitting with him in the gutter. Huh? Because I've won with. And that's what Jesus goes on to say in that gospel as well. He says, when you put on a party, when you put on a celebration, a dinner of one kind or another, don't just invite your friends and your relatives and those who you like and those you want to sort of hang out with, but rather also invite the poor, the lost, the abandoned, the lame, the crippled, as he says, and the blind, those that are overlooked and not considered worthy in the social status. They're the ones especially to bring into your banquet. And there's that beautiful refrain that we sang, didn't we? We sang that, God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the poor. So if we are truly a humble congregation, then we'll make a home for the poor. The church is intended to be a home for the poor. The church is made up of all those who are weak and broken, who know their brokenness and their weakness, and so God's glory can shine through it in a wonderful way. And that's why God is spoken about in that text as the father of the poor and the defender of widows, the father of orphans and the defender of widows, because the orphans and the widows were the most abandoned ones in the Old Testament time. There was no social security. They were the ones who had nothing to hang on to. And so they're the real heroes of the scriptures. And they're the ones that God has specially favored, the weakest ones. And if we're meant to move in the heart of God in humility, then we also will favor the weak and the broken. There's a beautiful story from the deacon Lawrence. Lawrence the deacon, way back in the early church, when he saw his bishop going off, the Bishop of Rome, going off to be martyred during one of the persecutions, and he cried out, "Oh, when can I come with you?" And the bishop turned around and said, "You'll be coming in 3 days' time." And sure enough, that's what happened, 3 days' time. He also experienced martyrdom, but he brought it on himself. Because what he did, he must have thought, well, I've got 3 days to do something worthwhile. And so he told the prefect of Rome, who was in charge of the persecution, that he wanted to show him all the treasures of the Catholic Church. and the prefects. Well, that's good. We'll get the treasures of the church at last, you know? And so 3 days' time, the prefect arrives to sort of find the treasures of the church. In the meantime, Lawrence had gone round all of Rome. He picked up all the people in the streets and all the sort of poor people, one kind or another, and gathered them all together, all shabbily dressed, and a lot of them sort of swearing and going on. And there they are. And the prefect sort of says, where are the treasures of the church? Lawrence said, here are the treasures of the church. The poorest of the poor. Huh? That's the gospel, isn't it? And that's what we're meant to be like, a home for the poor. As we ourselves come to know our own poverty and not sort of becoming pretentious and trying to put on the face that looks good, but underneath we're pretty shabby anyway. But let's all be shabby together and allow the Lord to shine us up and allow his glory to be manifest in our midst as his people who belong to him. The church is meant to be a church of the poor. And so it's a great gift that God gives us, isn't it? This gift of humility. And the funny thing is, of course, when you start to get it, you don't know you've got it. If you think you've got it, you don't. Because you're already getting proud about the fact that you're humble. So it's a bit of an elusive thing. But the way into it, there's two ways into humility, it seems to me. The first way is through the Lord provides moments of humiliation, right? What Paul talked about, a thorn in the side that was given to him to stop him from getting too proud about the revelations that have been given to him. And he gets this thorn in the side. He gets something happening, we don't know what it was, that afflicts him in some way. And that happens, the Lord provides those little things for us, you know, that brings us a little bit of humiliation, that helps us to be knocked off our horse, as it were, so that we can just be a little bit more dependent upon God and realize our utter need for him. That's one way in which the Lord takes us to a humbler place, a lower place before him and hence before others. But another way, which is the way that we should think of most, I think, is a more positive way, and that's the way of gratitude. To cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Think about that one. You like it? An attitude of gratitude. You like that one? It's yours. You can take it home. But have an attitude of gratitude so that I'm always grateful for the good gifts that God has given. And I walk under that experience of life. A lot of people are complaining all the time. They sort of, oh, they don't have this, they want to have that. I look at those people over there, they've got a house over there. Oh my goodness, I'd love to have a house like that. And they've got a car. Wow, look at that car, that's amazing. Why can't we afford that? And they go on like this and then don't have an attitude of gratitude. And so they foster that root of pride deep within them. The first reading talks about pride is a cancer, a growth within you, within the heart. And we have to try and cut it out. You see, an image of pride that you might have is like a root that goes down into the ground and you've got a whole lot of lateral sort of shoots on this root that tap root is right down there deep. You can cut off the lateral roots and try and get this darn tree out, but the deep tap root's right down there and you've got to work really hard on it all your life to get out that tap root, because otherwise you're disordered within, right? And dysfunctioning as a human being. That cancer within. So we have to ask the Lord for big grace to make us humble, to make us truly humble under his grace and under his power by his spirit within. And in that way then we become friends of the poor. In that way we walk in truth, in simplicity of heart. In that way we also have a surrendered heart to God and a heart that loves the Lord with all our heart and soul and mind and strength and is able to live in the truth before others and before him. So we pray for that, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that somehow or other, by the mystery of your grace, Lord, you'd cut our hearts open tonight so that we can come to you in a new way. Come to you in truth, Lord, and that we can come to you, Lord, willing to be servants of one another, willing to lower ourselves before the other and to consider the other to be our better in that sense, so that, Lord, you can dwell in our midst. We've made truly a home for the poor because you, Lord, are the poorest of the poor. You're the one who was born in a stable in Bethlehem. You were put into a feeding trough when you were born to show us that we are the ones meant to be humble and poor in our lives. And in that way, your glory will shine. And bless his name.